Can pro-Russian forces raise the stakes in the conflict in eastern Ukraine and thereby raise the profile? Separatists shelled the town of Mariupol. Dozens of people were killed over the weekend. The rhetoric from Moscow seems to be framing the entire conflict as a war against NATO encroachment in eastern Europe. Meanwhile, U.S. Treasury Secretary Jack Lew is in Kiev, promising more money and training for the Ukrainian government on top of billion-dollar guarantees from President Obama last year. Joining us is Lieutenant General Ben Hodges, commander of the U.S. Army in Europe. General, welcome.
Thank you, John. I'm very glad to be with you.
Do you think Moscow is trying to frame this as a war against NATO encroachment as opposed to a local conflict in Ukraine?
I think most of the information operations that they're conducting are focused on Ukraine. But when they talk to their domestic audience, it is exactly what you describe. It's about a larger encroachment by the West, perhaps a betrayal of previous agreements. That's sort of the approach they've taken. I completely disagree with that, of course. I believe President Putin has two goals. The first one, he's moving boundaries, borders of European countries, these frozen conflicts that you're familiar with, of course, in South Abkhazia, Transnistria in Moldova, and now what he's done with the illegal annexation of Crimea, which is a part of sovereign territory of Ukraine, and what he's doing in eastern Ukraine now. There's a pattern of trying to expand Russia's borders at the expense of European countries. So that's his first goal. The second goal, as I am sure, is to fracture our great alliance, the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, NATO, and to further separate North America from continental Europe. So he obviously feels threatened by the economic power of the EU and the solidarity of the our alliance.
Looking at the battlefield, do you think this is an escalation, what's happened over the last week?
This is the first time, I believe, in a while that we've seen that kind of kinetic activity in the city of Mariupol, a city of 500,000. It's on the Black Sea coast. So that's a concern that they would shoot rockets into the city. We don't know for a fact of the exact target, although the rockets that landed are very close to a Ukrainian army checkpoint on the outskirts of the city. Now, this city is important, not just because of its population and the fact that it is a seaport. It's very important because it is in the way if Russia wanted to establish a land bridge that went from Russian territory all the way to Crimea, where they now have over 25,000 soldiers and a significant amount of air defense artillery and other capabilities. So they would like to have that land bridge. It's much cheaper and easier to resupply and sustain what they have in Crimea. For now, they have to do it using ships, which are a lot more expensive. So Mariupol stands in the way of that land bridge.
I want to play for you some comments from United Nations Ambassador Samantha Power speaking to the Security Council this week, talking about exactly what you said, really, that the entire conflict is Russian-made.
This offensive is made in Moscow. It is waged by Russian-trained and Russian-funded separatists who use Russian missiles and Russian tanks, who are backed up by Russian troops, and whose operations receive direct Russian assistance.
Do you feel like you're in a war with Russia right now, General?
No, we're not in a war with Russia, although I will say I was very impressed. I read Ambassador Power's comments, and I know that Secretary Nuland has also been equally clear, as have other U.S. leaders and also some European leaders. So this is all actually encouraging to see so many leaders saying the same thing. But nobody wants to have a war with Russia. The last thing we want is a Russian economy that's wrecked. That will have a significant impact on Europe and the United States. That's not what we're after. But it clearly is a dangerous situation.
You know, in looking at pictures of what's gone on in eastern Ukraine, the airport in Donetsk is completely rubble. Have you surveyed the battlefield and the destroyed infrastructure that will take years for this region to recover?
I was in Ukraine about a week ago, spent 2 days there in the capital in Kyiv with our U.S. country team. We have an excellent ambassador there, Ambassador Pyat, and also with the head of the Ukrainian army and the head of the Ukrainian Ministry of Interior Land Forces. Also met with a couple of other Ukrainian officials and then visited the Ukrainian military hospital in Kyiv. It is very clear that the amount of equipment and ammunition that Russians are providing to their proxies, the so-called separatists, is significant. And in fact, it's actually doubled since the Minsk agreement was signed back in September. So even after the signing of that agreement, and the Russians have gone to great lengths to talk about how people are breaking the agreement, the amount of heavy equipment and ammunition that's been provided has doubled in that time. And the number of people getting killed per day since the Minsk agreement is significant. Almost 30 people a day is how it averages out. I was able to talk to some Ukrainian officers who had just returned from fighting there. They describe killing Russian Marines that are wearing the identification patches on their uniforms. They talk about some weaponry that has been introduced. First time they've seen some flame-throwing type weapons that they have not encountered before. These are the kind of things that a militia does not possess. You can't assemble this in the basement of your home. There's obvious professional, high-quality equipment and ammunition is being provided.
Lieutenant General Ben Hodges is commander of the U.S. Army in Europe. He spoke with us from Wiesbaden, Germany. General, thank you so much.
Thanks for the opportunity.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.